More Dirt and Sprague.
Do you trust someone who doesn't like a Pop-Tart?
Dirt.
Can I give you a hot take that might make people look at me and call me an idiot? I think Pop-Tarts are disgusting.
Sprague.
I used to raw dog Pop-Tarts religiously.
Dirt and Sprague.
I'm anti-Pop-Tart.
On the Fan Sports Network.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number three. Dirt and Sprague here, Portland sports leader, 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Good morning, everybody. Tuesdays are off to a good start.
Yeah, the air quality's not.
The air quality, my friends, is not.
What's the AQI right now?
I'd imagine not very good. I'd imagine it's not not very solid.
Right now?
It's going to be one of those let's not go outside today very much days, and it's going to be hot as balls, so that sucks too.
Let's see. Air quality in Portland is... Cannot find it.
Okay.
Give me a minute. I'll look.
We're bad. How about that? How about it's bad to worse? Tomorrow's, I think, supposed to be a little bit worse, too.
125?
I don't know. What's the phrasing of that? Like, where's the healthy level? What's the cutoff?
Not that.
Not that, I'd imagine. No. Is it half of that? Is it 80? Is it 90? Where's the threshold?
Tomorrow's going to be 159 as a reference point. Okay. So I think that wind's blowing almost all that smoke here.
Yeah, tomorrow's going to be even worse.
Not great, Bob.
Turn the TV on. Relax inside. Hopefully you got air conditioning. That'll be the next 48 hours. And hopefully everything clears over. We've got a lot to get to in this hour of radio. We have not played Dante Moore audio from yesterday. Also, Evan Stewart talked. A lot of highlights from him. It was Oregon Duck Media Day. So I have a little bit more on that.
He seemed very happy.
Evan Stewart seemed very happy.
He's just laughing the whole time, having a good time. Like, hey, I get to play football again.
He has not. He pointed it out yesterday. He has not played a football game since the Penn State Big Ten Championship.
That feels like forever ago.
He missed the Rose Bowl with a back injury. We didn't know he was hurt. It was a last second scratch, and then he missed the entire season last year. And so he pointed that out yesterday. And joining us now to talk about that and those lofty expectations down in Eugene, Oregon, is our good buddy Ryan Clark of the Oregonian, OregonLive.com, at Ryan T. Clark on Twitter. You can go give him a follow there. Questions all over the videos I'm watching yesterday, catching up on Duck Media Day. Ryan, good morning to you. Biggest takeaway, I guess. We got Media Day. It means season is here. What's the biggest takeaway from yesterday down in Eugene?
Yeah, I mean, the expectations are high, as you pointed out. You know, this is probably the highest the expectations have been under Dan Lanning at Oregon. And I think rightfully so. You know, this looks to me on paper like the most talented team Lanning has had. I heard your guys talk about, you know, people in the national media saying there are no questions. I also find that to be pretty ridiculous. There are obviously questions for even championship teams and moments of adversity, and certainly Oregon will face those this year. But really, really talented on paper, and a group of guys that, you know, despite it being a cliche, they do seem hungry, and they do seem like a group that really wants to go far.
Yeah, I find it interesting the narratives with Lanning, and I know the last two losses to end their seasons has not been a good way to go out. It's one thing maybe to lose a last-second field goal in the semifinal. It's another to lose by what feels like a million points and starts the game off with a pick six. So I understand it, but like, in a weird way, Ryan, aren't we just going to be doing this until he wins, if he does ever win a title? Of like, this is his most talented team. The dude is recruiting at a top 3 to 5 or 1 level at any given recruiting class. He's always portaling in top-end talent. His quarterbacks are seemingly reclamation projects or proven entities. Like, I don't know. I kind of comical in a way. Like, I know Duck fan wants that first title. They haven't had it. It's not ended well. Next year, I'm willing to put a $50 bet on next year. We're going to say, this is the most talented team Dan Lanning's ever had. I don't know what we're to do if they don't win the championship going into next season. We're just going to keep, I guess, saying this collectively as the media.
Yeah, I mean, hindsight is certainly 2020 in that, right? You know, you keep hearing that phrase. We keep saying it over the years. I came on your guys' show 2 years ago, predicted them to go undefeated and win the Big Ten. I ended up being right, which is great. You know, pure crystal ball right there. But
a little shaky those first 2 weeks, though. You're shaking in your boots a little bit over that prediction.
Yeah, I was shaking during especially the Idaho game.
Yes.
My God. But you know, you look back at those teams, and you know, obviously we're looking at them retrospectively and looking at this team from a forward perspective. That Oregon team of 2024 did, despite it being 13-0 and winning those huge games on the road at Michigan and Wisconsin and winning that Big Ten championship, showcase some of the, I think, glaring weaknesses at times, and we even saw it in the early part of the season, that ended up being their undoing by the time the playoff rolled around. They ran into a a steamroll that was that Ohio State team. Their defense, especially in the secondary, had moments where you're like, oh, I don't know. And then obviously the offensive line got pummeled, and Dillon Gabriel was too small to really make a meaningful difference in that game. And then you look at the 2025 team, and, you know, it was always the year before the year. I don't think we were coming into last year saying this is the most talented team Dan Lanning's ever had. It's those guys having been through that, gone as deep as they did, and coming back instead of going to the NFL on both sides of the ball that makes me think that superlative that we love to throw out with Oregon may actually be true this time around.
Interesting. We're talking with Ryan Clark, covers the Ducks, Ducks beat writer for the Oregonian, OregonLive.com, at Ryan T. Clark on Twitter. You can go follow him there. This idea that it's a talented team, I think we all agree on, you know, is it the most talented in the country or the third most talented? Like, who knows? Time will tell on that answer. There's also, we're trying to push back on this narrative that there are no questions, right? Like, you got new faces on the offensive line. You got some question marks. You know, Betcher was such a big player for you in the middle at linebacker and a great leader. You got to replace a guy like that. But probably the elephant in the room, bigger than anything, is the two new coordinators and guys who are unproven at this level or have had their moments as play callers, but maybe not been elite or in better situations. I did not see. Did they talk yesterday? Because I was trying to catch up on everything into the evening. So I'm curious on that front. And then if they did, what did they say? And if they didn't, what was being said about them by the players that maybe is stuff that Duck fans would want to hear? Because that is a massive question for me going into the year.
Yeah, it's a huge question on both sides of the ball. And I think, you know, more than any person.
Do we try again?
Epa! Epa! Can you not hear him?
No.
Oh.
Can you?
No, I can't.
Okay. You jackass.
I think we just straight lost him.
Let's try again. Ryan, are you still there?
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I'm alive and
we
well.
We got you. Okay. Whoa.
I have not been consumed.
Didn't know where he went.
It disappeared on us there. We got a little worried. Oh, we were talking about headstones earlier. We don't need to go. Where? Come on. All right. Don't freak us out like that. Okay. You're talking about the coordinators and kind of the questions about them going into the year.
Certainly. Yeah. I think it's the biggest question facing this team. I think that they believe strongly in those guys, and internal hires create this level of continuity. But even Lanning admitted in his press conference that it can, if you're not careful, lead to a lack of new ideas. But he was quick to say, you know, I really like the ideas of these guys. It's essentially going to be a almost identical offense to what Will Stein was running with Drew Merringer, obviously making some tweaks. And then the defensive side should be pretty similar to what Tasha Lupoi was doing. But Dante Moore did say something and go out of his way to say two things, whether it's, you know, running cover for a new guy or not. He said that he thinks that Drew Merringer is a scientist, which is an interesting, way to frame it for him. But he also, prior to that, said that the thing he's most excited about this season is Drew Merringer, which is a very high piece of praise. And he obviously went on to, you know, say that Will Stein did a great job and wasn't trying to begrudge him by any stretch. But that is not something he has to come out and say. He can just talk about his teammates. He can talk about the camaraderie, yada, yada, the normal stuff they talk about at Oregon with the culture. But him going out of the way to talk about Merringer in that way, I think, is a good thing. And, you know, the experience that you have on the defensive side of the ball and the success that secondary had is the track record for the other side, I think.
I ask you, Ryan, of the questions, quote unquote, that some of us might have about Oregon football, like, where does the coordinator one rank for you in terms of what this team is looking at going in?
Yeah, it's number one for me.
Obviously, it's number one.
Line. Yeah, I think the offensive line is something that people have latched onto. Rightfully so. Replacing three starters is by no means something to just ignore. And it's, to me, the second most important storyline, with the third maybe being replacing Bryce Betcher in the linebacker area. But, I think that, you know, it's not just replacing an offensive coordinator. It's not just replacing the defensive coordinator. It's both. And Dan Lanning is one of the best coaches in the country. He's only really lost to the teams that have played for or won the national title. He's had great, you know, coordinators over the last few years. But this is, as in terms of coaching staff adversity, save for those two guys that just left having to do two different jobs at the same time during the college football playoff last year, this is probably the biggest adversity that Oregon's faced.
Well, I guess I would ask as a follow-up on that, because I didn't expect you to say number one, but I totally get it, and I think people do have their questions. What I really like about Lanning is how forward-thinking he is. He was asked about evolving with the sport, what seemingly is a yearly thing for them, and these deadlines, or this portal doesn't exist, or this portal time does exist. Like, all of this stuff, this dude doesn't really complain. He wants to see it fixed, but, like, he just evolves with it. I think the thing about the coordinators, it's okay to say, like, you really believe in what they are and who they are and what they believe and what they dial up. I'm still shocked that it was never an outside consideration. It's one thing to hire Drew Merringer because you liked what he was giving you for all these years internally. It's another to not even make a phone call to talk to another person. Like, that's just something that's very un-Lanning, in my opinion. Doesn't make the hires wrong. It's more just, this guy strikes me as somebody that's always looking for all of the possible pieces of information he can gather. And at this one, it just, hey, it's these guys, instead of like having external interviews to maybe compare to what he has internally.
Yeah, and you know, maybe things change a year from now, but certainly I think that the idea of keeping that continuity with Dante coming back, with all the guys on the defensive side of the ball coming back, and trying at least to keep things more or less the same while looking back on your failures last year and making those necessary tweaks is the approach with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ryan Clark is our guest covering the Ducks for OregonLive.com, at Ryan T. Clark on Twitter. Anything else that's kind of catching your eye about fall camp getting underway, things that stood out that you heard yesterday that, I don't know, pique your interest, that maybe are things that we should be keeping our eye on as we're getting closer and closer to this thing ramping up?
Yeah, you know, getting a chance to hear from Dante, like his leadership and his like mental fortitude, like that cannot be discounted as a guy who's going to be a potential Heisman candidate and somebody that's leading this group. The dude has a great head on his shoulders, extremely cerebral, you know, spends a lot of time on the golf course, as I know you boys both do. So, he played Bandon Dunes for his birthday in May, which was something that he was very excited about. But there's a lot of fun, interesting random stories too that I look forward to telling this season. Bailey Ettridge, the punter who transferred in from Nevada, 28 years old, Australian guy. He comes in having been an apprentice welder in Australia before he decided to pursue college football, which is an unbelievable journey for a guy who looks. He walked in and I was like, oh, who's that assistant coach? And it's like, nope, that is the punter. And he's, I believe, a redshirt sophomore. So,
yes! He can play till he's 38. So we got the 5x5 rule right now. So can he play till he's like 32? Can we have a 33-year-old punter? Is that what you're telling me right now?
He may well get into his 30s before this college football thing is over. I asked him at the end, I was like, you married? You have kids? You know, what's the situation? He's like, nope, working on that, Mike. He's like, all right, thank you.
Is that your best impression of somebody from Australia or New Zealand?
Mike.
I don't think I'm going to get into too many different impressions today. I think I'll leave that to the better among us in that category. But certainly, Ettridge was a great interview and kind of crazy to see a guy from that blue collar background.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to reading the piece. I just told Swag as you were talking, I was like, we need to get him on.
We
got to
get the
right
guy
now.
On the show.
I love a good Aussie accent. You know, Dante's interesting too. Like, he's coming back. He could have left, been the second pick in the draft, decides I can still, you know, refine my craft and get better, and maybe he wins the Heisman, maybe they win their first championship. You talk about the mental fortitude. What leaves you to believe in what you believe about the mental fortitude for one Dante Moore, and just kind of his, I don't know, the nature is, or whatever you want to call it, of him this season coming into the Media Day festivities and season versus last year with unknowns and, you know, people on the radio wondering, is he even going to be the starter all year? Is Austin Novosad going to overtake him? I don't know who said stupid stuff like that. It certainly wasn't me. But, like, what he was last year to what he is and what he appears to be now this year.
Yeah, I mean, you think about the weight of expectations on a guy that comes into a season as one of the favorites for the Heisman, turned down an opportunity in the NFL to come back to college and better himself. Those things obviously matter, but you listen to him talk and you listen to the way that his teammates talk about him. This is a guy that pours into other people, that is extremely aware of mental health and balance and, you know, understanding oneself as a person before yourself as an athlete. All of those things factor into a mental makeup, which, you know, as we know, having overanalyzed over and over the quarterback position in our positions in the media over the years, those guys with that mental strength often have the edge, regardless of their arm talent or whatever else they might bring to the table athletically. He can place the ball anywhere still. He's still that guy on the field. But it is, to me, the off-the-field stuff with Dante, his leadership, you know, his mental toughness, having gone through depression, as he talked about, mm-hmm. This past spring when his mom was diagnosed with cancer and he was struggling at UCLA. He's been through those trials as a person, and I think that they are going to benefit him on the field and the camaraderie he's built with those guys, whether it's going bowling with them. He said that Evan Stewart beat him in L.A. only because Evan Stewart played him without the balls that he left in Eugene, which is really funny that Dante Moore has his own bowling balls. But the guy is competitive. He's someone that really loves the teammates around him, and that's going to pay off.
Yeah, it feels great to talk about this because it means football is right around the corner. Ryan Clark will be on the beat all year long. You can read him Oregon in the Oregonian, OregonLive.com. At Ryan T. Clark on Twitter. Go give him a follow. Great stuff. Thanks for the time and the update on Oregon Duck Media Day, and we're getting closer, man. Let's do this again soon.
Yeah, absolutely, guys. Thanks for having me.
There you go. Ryan Clark of the Oregonian. I will say, to his point, I think it was Brenna Green that asked Dante yesterday. We'll get to some of that audio in a moment. Yeah. He looks a lot more comfortable. Like, and obviously, last year you had the Novosad stuff, but it also was a question mark. Like, we had not seen him play high level college football. He was not good at UCLA.
Yeah.
And there was a question about how good will he be, and mm-hmm. he's going through this. Like, they didn't even name a starter until they took the field in their first game of the year against Montana State. Like, we knew it was going to be, but they didn't announce it publicly because that's just not what Lanning does. And so now to go into year to be the established guy, the leader in the locker room, the first round caliber player, the voice of the team, if you will, like there's a comfort level that he seems to be showcasing right now that didn't necessarily exist a year ago.
Well, it might sound really stupid to you.
Fire away.
I almost wonder if last year there was more pressure than there is this year.
I think that's not that dumb of a take.
The expectations are certainly raised. We have a sample size of stats and data that tell us what he is or was as a quarterback last year. And yeah, they're expecting to win the title. But last year, even though I still think on paper, talent-wise, I mean, it's as talented an Oregon team. We just didn't know a lot of the variables. Like, we weren't talking a whole lot of, like, Brandon Finney's going to be one of the best cover corners right. in college football.
He's a highly touted recruit, but he wasn't even their top-ranked exactly. corner that they signed. Naeem Offord was ranked higher than
Deer
him.
Deer Hill, yeah. Jordan Davidson, like, these are all players. Johnson emerged at the tight end spot, mm-hmm. and now he's kind of becoming the next Kenyon Sadiq. Like, these were guys we didn't know yet, and we learned them very quickly. Dante was coming in off of being pick six Dante, transferring and deciding to sit, and everybody going, what? Like,
yep.
That's what you think of yourself?
Got benched at UCLA.
And then coming in, and you've got idiots like me who are wondering aloud, is he going to be good? I don't know, man. He might not be the starter all year. And he came out, and he balled out. He wasn't perfect.
No.
But I would argue more pressure going into last year because that was going to be his career.
Yes.
If you suck last year and you get
flame
sucked out,
it's done, dude.
Dude, you're Jaden Rashada. You're going to go to some...
you're Georgia Southern next year.
Yeah, exactly. And hope to get a shot.
Yes.
He didn't. He balled out. I think what you saw this year, it's this level of calm confidence of, I know this. Now, it doesn't mean they're going to win the title, but it's, I've already proven to myself I'm very capable. Trust what he has around him. I think last year had more pressure on him than he does this year.
I don't think it's that bad of a take at all. There's certainly always pressure, and they want to win a championship, and he's got to, like, you know, you want to be the number one pick and all that kind of stuff. But
yeah.
The idea in your mind of, like, if I'm just the same player this year as I was last year, I'm a lock to be a top 10 pick in the draft.
Yeah.
Right. It's a deeper quarterback class, so maybe you're not the second off the board. It's a little bit different this year, depending on how guys play and who comes
out. That might end up being better for you anyway.
It very well could be, but that's a good, like, all right, if that's just my base level and I do that again, I could be a top 10 pick, but now I've proven myself to that. Like, it's just, I'm with you completely. I don't think it's that bad of a take. Let's put a bow on this. We got a little bit more. One player that everybody continues to rave about, he's got a big smile on his face and big expectations this year. And here from Dante Moore, the starting quarterback of the Ducks. Last one on Oregon Media Day next on The Fan. All right, welcome back in. We'll get back into the NFL in a little bit. Don't forget Magic Hat, or excuse me, Mail Sack coming up at 9 o'clock. We were just talking about the Magic Hat during the break. We have a Brooke Olsendam Mail Sack today.
I didn't warn her about that, by the way.
She's cool with it.
You know, as somebody that's helped create some of the elements of this show, you'd be stunned how often I do things and then forget about things that we normally do.
One of the best things that we've ever done on this show is a weekly hit with our great friend Ken Barkley, and I forgot about them every week.
On the tease.
Every week. And then I'd get to the interview, and I'd be thrilled, and he would be great, and we'd laugh, we'd have a great time, and then the next Wednesday, I'd forget about it again.
Yeah,
every week.
And it's not a, I forgot because I don't like
him. No, I love Ken Barkley. I can't wait to have him on again. But I want to ask him about my Ducks, because remember his stuff on Michigan a couple of years ago? You guys had the bet. That's why that was what led to the whole you looked up his address on Zillow is because you had to send him an Oregon care package.
Yeah, I did.
And so I want to know, does he think Oregon falls into that category of a team that could win a national championship?
Now, was that Michigan winning the title? Was that what that was?
It was Michigan winning the title, and I think
it was Michigan-Alabama game.
Yeah, but
same
I think he did. I think it was a season-long thing, though, for him. Of like, look at the pedigree, and I think you and I were in lockstep. Of like, dude, they just lost to TCU, and JJ McCarthy's the quarterback.
I think me and him had the bet specifically on that game.
But
he was on them all year. Mm-hmm. Little did I know they were cheating their ass off.
Hey, allegedly, right?
It's not allegedly. There's actual, there's been punishments. I mean, come on, what are we doing
here? Have there been enough? That's a follow-up.
Now, is that what the cartoon mouse used to say before he ran? Speedy?
Epa! Epa!
He used to say that, right?
No, he would say andale.
No, ipa, ipa, andale, andale. Right?
I think you're right.
I'm pretty sure he had a...
Let's search that. I think you're right.
Yeah.
I think you're onto something there.
Semi...
Epa! Epa!
Not semi. Racist cartoon.
Semi.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm doing there. Racist cartoon.
Couple of follow-ups, and then I do want to play the rest of the audio that we pulled from yesterday, because I got some Dante Moore and some Evan Stewart in there. And this is a point, I don't know the answer to this question. And okay. One listener is asking you on the idea of the coordinators, because I agree with your overall assessment of, and the question that you asked Ryan, they were like, it's very un-Lanning-like to not leave every stone unturned.
Yeah, to get as
point.
Much information as you can on something.
Right.
You still hire the two internal guys.
If that's the guys you think are the best candidates for the job. Here is the, and the listener's asking this, we'll never know the answer to this. There will be rumors and did they call anybody else? I don't know.
Can I give you a take?
Go ahead, give me a take.
This is just an opinion.
Yes.
I was thinking about this a little bit from the Big Ten Media.
Because you were asking that, and as you were asking that, I was thinking to myself, that's a good point, but also I don't remember, like, I was trying to remember how quickly the timelines were, because it was relatively quick to those guys leaving to the behind-the-scenes announcement where it kind of leaked publicly before the public announcement. Mm-hmm. I think they announced it publicly sometime at the end of January, but it had been known or murmured about since December, but he didn't want to overshadow the guys on the way out or come out with that. You know, they didn't publicly announce it. But to the listener's point, I don't know whether or not they called other candidates and tried to hire other guys or not.
Okay, so how much does Arthur Smith cost?
That's a great question.
How
I'd
much
say,
does Chip Kelly cost?
Chip Kelly at Northwestern's a good question. I don't know. But Arthur Smith's probably making well over $1 million, I'd imagine.
What was Penn State's guy? Their offense kind of sucked, but he's very highly
regarded.
Kolonicki,
I think.
How much does he cost? Like,
yeah.
I kind of wondered
their
more.
Their big move was on the defensive side. Remember, they went and got Ohio State's defensive coordinator
Jim
and
Knowles.
Paid him a massive amount of money, and then it didn't work out.
So, for me, I was just wondering from his Big Ten Media Day, and I'm just, this is just pure speculation, wondering in my own head. I was more wondering, like, I can't imagine they were the most expensive hires.
No.
At a time where you're crunching numbers and you're trying to fit budgets into everything, and oh, by the way, Oregon basketball has fallen off, so, like, how do you open up some space there? I kind of wondered, it's a mix of trust. I'm not saying Dan Lanning hired guys to say, oh, I saved $1.2 million. I just kind of wonder, like,
their new facilities going up. It's pretty big and
exactly.
pretty expensive.
This just works for everybody. Right. He clearly really believes in these two people. I think he would have hired somebody else outside if he believed in them the way that he believed and went and got Will Stein. Maybe he just evaluated the landscape and said, eh, can I have more on the budget, and I got my guys already here that I like.
It's a really tough balance, and you put yourself in his shoes, because on the one hand, you can make the argument you can go hire better or more proven, I should say, not better, because we don't know
guys,
these guys
we have more
are,
evidence of.
But a guy who has a track record of, right? But then, to your point, there's a lot of these guys that pop out. Jim Knowles was this literally last year at Penn State.
It was an overpay.
Him going to Penn State was like the coup of the, oh my God, they got Ohio State's defensive coordinator.
He skipped the parade
to go
to Penn State.
And they sucked.
I know.
And they paid him $2 million. And so there's a balance there of like.
I thought it was three, but.
It might even have been three. You might not be wrong. And the other part of it being you bring in all these, like, I see the conundrum that he found himself in. Now, I don't know whether he called other people or not. I have no clue how many he interviewed or if he always knew these guys are leaving and these guys are the replacement, and I don't even lean to look outside.
Sure.
We'll never know the full story there because he's not going to come out and say, yeah, they were the fifth option that I had and the other four turned me down. But I get the argument of we are bringing so much talent back and I'd like to keep the theme, the scheme and the theme somewhat consistent because of that. Instead of saying, hey, Dante, by the way, they're coming back for one more year. Here's a new playbook to go learn in your offseason before you get ready to go to the NFL when you're trying to play your way into being a top five pick in
the
draft.
So Chad Morris is now back at Clemson. He's the OC.
They did the Garrett Riley thing, and that didn't work out very well for them for a couple of years.
Will Muschamp is the DC at Texas because they fired.
That was a very controversial decision.
I didn't
down
like
there.
That decision. I thought.
The defense was not their issue.
The UW guy.
Kwiatkowski.
I thought he was good. I thought their defense was fine, but they changed that. Gary Patterson at USC.
That was not their choice. The other guy, Danton Lynn, left for Penn State.
My
and
point
that's
is,
they hired.
These aren't cheap names we're talking about. And I'm not, again, this is going to sound like I'm trying to say Lanning and Orr going to be cheap.
Did Tom Dundon buy the Ducks? What are you insinuating right now?
I'm trying to.
Is Jerry Allen not allowed to travel with the team anymore? Is that what you're telling me right now? Jerry, get him on a plane.
Gonna watch TV here in the fan studios and call the game.
This would be Dusty's sideline. He'll pace around the studio on Saturdays calling the game.
Dusty, what are you seeing? Well, live right now from the fart box of Odyssey Studios. I'm seeing a lot going on down here, Jerry.
We have to come in here and make the weather sound effects.
Why lose some of your financial stuff? Like, when you can just make a hire of guys you obviously trust. Yeah. He is not somebody that I look at as a coach and say, I have to crunch my numbers. I'm going to hire the cheapest candidate. I'm not trying to suggest. I'm just simply saying I think he trusted him so much and the price points of some of these other guys.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, let's do it.
What was odd to me is not having interviews.
Publicly known interviews.
Publicly
known interviews. And that's the only
maybe
point.
He called somebody and they didn't want to do it and they had a deal.
Or he just didn't like what he heard and he thought these guys are better.
I fundamentally disagree with using any evidence of Maringer's past.
Agree with you there.
You can use those numbers. You can say, well, this 1 year at garbage-ass Rutgers, I don't think that's a sample size enough for me to invest and say, well, this means the offense won't be good. It's not a knock on numbers, right?
Numbers are real. Yeah.
I like that people can use.
But there's
something.
Also context behind it.
Yeah, Rutgers a decade ago. Like, I'm not gonna say, well, that means he's this, this, and that at Oregon.
Right.
When you're gonna have literally every position upgraded.
That is the exact point I would make, and I think there's a comp on this team last year, and it was Dante Moore. One of the reasons I was not that concerned about Dante.
Yeah.
Was because he's good. Like, you don't have to be a magician week in and week out. Let me guess, you're going to have a Moore award-winning finalist offensive line. Got it. Mm-hmm. Kenyon Sadiq was coming in as maybe the best tight end in the sport. Got it. DeCorey Moore was the number one. Like, you had, certainly there was some youth aspects there, but name me five other players that he played with at UCLA. Go. Charbonnet. Mm-hmm. Who was the white tight end that they had? Bobo?
Jake Bobo.
Name me another player.
Is it Mike Bobo or Jake Bobo? Which one's a coach? One's
Mike Bobo,
dad?
Coach, Jake Bobo,
yeah,
player,
so,
Jack,
yeah, son,
right? Maybe. Anyways, I digress. Yeah. My point remains, that was not that good of a team. Mm-hmm. And so to your Maringer point, I think using Rutgers comps is barking up the wrong tree.
Also,
and,
his coach was largely checked out.
Yeah, who even was the coach then? Was it? It wasn't Shiana, was it?
Oh, no, I was talking about Dante at UCLA.
Oh, yeah.
Chip.
Who was the head coach at Rutgers, by the way, when Maringer was there?
Was that Shiano the first time?
I thought he was gone.
You have to look that up.
Shiano left in 2011, so it would not have been him. You had
2014?
Kyle 2015? Flood for 4 years, and then Chris Ash until 2020.
So he was the coordinator and one of those guys?
They were really bad.
So, what did we know about Will Stein before you hired him?
It was at UTSA. The numbers look good, but it's UTSA. Will it translate?
Well, what happened?
It translated.
It was good at UTSA, but he came here and it was pretty damn good because the Jimmies and Joes. So Yeah, there's a lot to be said about the coordinators. I don't think it's my number one, by the way, of questions.
Not your number one, huh? Offensive line number one?
Yeah, probably, and it's not like I don't trust it. It's just a question, yeah. Right? We're talking about questions. Linebacking core, it was already a little bit of a problem for some.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't perfect, but
no.
We're asking about replacing Bryce Betcher, who wasn't perfect in himself at Oregon.
Struggled in some ways, for sure.
So just, you know, Lanning seems to believe in the internal development and growth of a lot of the players. I liked his point yesterday of, like, asking in the audience, if you're new here, raise your hand. And he's like, I was kind of surprised how many hands ended up going up. So, yeah, you have returning talent, but you're still mixing in the next batch of fill-in-the-blank guys that we heard from last year that stepped into the scene. And this is all my point is. I think he has proven with his recruiting pedigree and his portal pedigree, we're just going to say this a lot.
Every year.
It's his most talented. We're going to probably say it next year.
This right now, and I made this argument at the end of the year.
And we're going to do to Raiola what we just did to Moore.
Right.
Except we need more of a sample size with Raiola versus Moore.
Right.
But we're going to do the same thing. Is he going to overcome what are you doing at Nebraska? We're going to do the same thing next year we did to Dante Moore a year ago.
Exactly the same. I'm with you 100%. I've been making that argument for a while. There's an Andy Bernard quote from The Office at the end. I wish there was a way to know you're in the good old days before the good old days are gone. And I will make the argument. I know the end of the season is the last 2 years have not been. These are the good old days of Oregon football.
Absolutely.
This is the best you've ever been. It's the most consistent you've ever been. It's the highest level you've stayed at for this length of time. This will be the first time since Mike Bellotti that you've had a coach for five straight years once Dan Lanning coaches the Boise State game. These are the good old days no matter how the season is ending. Enjoy the ride for however long it lasts.
I did enjoy one snippet. I hadn't heard it before. You may have the snippet in his interview on PMT of something you've done, and he said he busted a UW helmet at
that
halftime.
That was a great note.
And he said, I didn't know what to do because he's a speech guy and they weren't playing very well in the second half of games. So he went in and he had asked Mike Bellotti.
He called Bellotti. He was like,
what would you do? Yeah. And he was like, I just break some crap. And so he had the strength coach
smash a UW helmet
with a sludgehammer and it ended up working really. They ended up winning the game.
I think he said he put it somewhere in his house or his man cave.
And
or his
I
just
thought about that.
Like
hanging
cool,
up
dude.
A broken piece of a UW helmet in your house is hilarious.
Especially for that was the first win over UW, too. Remember in that moment, he had not beaten them yet. That was a big one for him to finally get that monkey off of his back. I didn't get to it there. We'll get to it next. I got little Dante, little Evan Stewart. I'm going to throw Beaver something at you. You ready?
I don't think we're getting Media Day, by the way.
I don't think so either.
Camp's about to just start. They had a golf tournament yesterday.
But I have something from the Beavers we can talk about.
How little freshmen they have.
And, are we not talking enough about this team? So all that, we'll see if we can jam it all into the next segment. Next on the Fam. All right, welcome back in. 8:46 on your Tuesday morning. Don't forget the mail sack coming up in a few moments. Brooke Olsendam will join us. We'll have some fun with that. That's right around the corner. She live tweeted the Odyssey yesterday. Fair or foul behavior. Also, anti-Odyssey. Are we okay with that?
Well, didn't she say she actually enjoyed it? She was just critiquing it along the way. I thought her overall
assessment was this movie's way too long. It kind of sucks. And get me out of here.
Well, so here's
the thing. Flowers just got an extension in Baltimore.
Oh, how about that? That was
4 year, 140 million, 108 million guaranteed for Zay Flowers. That just came across.
I really like Zay Flowers.
Epa!
Zay Flowers making more than Bijan Robinson just is. It feels odd.
I know you're not wrong.
Good player.
Is he a one?
Positional value.
Is he a two?
This is why running backs need their own union.
We need a subsect of the union inside the union.
So what I was going to say before being rudely interrupted by Zay Flowers' contract note.
That bastard.
I'm wondering because I haven't seen it yet. It's been disappointing how I haven't seen the Odyssey yet. Which is shocking for me because I'm a big Nolan guy.
I chose not to do it on my anniversary weekend, and then seeing Brooke Olsendam's tweets yesterday, I'm like, you know what? I'm kind of glad I didn't go see it.
Smart choice.
Yeah.
Nolan's only missed one time, in my opinion.
Yes.
Tenet is one of the worst movies I've ever seen twice. I'm almost worried that Christopher Nolan is so popular and big right now that when he hires these actors, they know it's going to be a box office number one.
Right.
So the overacting thing is a real issue.
Did you feel that in Oppenheimer? Because no, I didn't feel that. In
I didn't get that sense.
I didn't,
feel
but it's
it
also
in
a very different. I mean, it's a very different movie.
But it was another one
story.
Added to the legacy category of him.
It
and it's like I just the buildup of this when they announced he was doing this. This was like 2 years ago.
It was huge. Yeah,
it was a and then it was like, oh, they got Matt Damon. Yeah. Oh, they got it. And I'm not. I haven't seen it yet. Maybe I don't think they've overacted.
Mm.
But when she said that, I'm wondering, like, I've not heard great things about Tom Holland's performance in this. So is there a thing of like, I want to win the award. Like, it's just a whole cast of, like, big actors that
give
all
me the
want to
award. Give me
I
the award.
Win it. No, I want to win it.
Well,
I'll let you know after I actually see the movie.
I'll see it when it comes out. I'll watch it at home.
But the overacting note I saw, and I'm like, well, I kind of worry about that sometimes.
Probably over the how many days will it take me to watch The Odyssey? That'll be a fun poll question.
A three-day excursion.
It'll be a three-day, do an hour a day. You know, we'll get there eventually. We've talked a lot about Oregon today. Final one on that. Here's your last bit of audio. Let's hear from Dante Moore. Hey, a lot of guys back. Good defense. How does that make you better, Dante?
Yeah, we're going to push each other at practice. This team, for sure, offense and defense, even special teams, is insane. And but talent only takes you so far. So I kind of feel like at the end of the day, we have all this talent, but we're making sure we're putting the work in to help improve other areas as well. But Coach Land's going to do a great job when we have competition periods, when we're going to have periods where we got to protect each other on the field. But at the end of the day, it's iron sharpening iron, and we're ready for it.
I got one PSA for him. Love me some Dante Moore. Hope he has a great year this year. Rooting for him to be the number one pick and a Heisman Trophy winner.
Mm-hmm.
He says at the end of the day, every 4 seconds of every answer he gives. And the verbal crutch is something that's very common. I fall into that trap from time to time where I'm like, I've said
it's
that
very
word
unconscious
10
when
times.
You're doing it.
You're not paying attention to it.
Somebody's
got to tap him on the shoulder and
yeah,
be like, dude, you
SID's
come up.
SID's got to say, hey,
right,
you know, just review tape like you review game tape.
Yes, go back and watch it.
Your media tape.
Because there are answers where he said at the end of the day, like, I'm not kidding you, in a 30-second answer, like 7 times.
At the end of the day.
At the end of the day. Yeah. At the end of the day. He's a very smart kid, very bright. Speaking publicly is not the most comfortable position to put people in. It's just one little thing there that I point out. But I do think that's a great point about Oregon football, that this year their defense and their line, like, talk about a way to get your offensive line ready. Make them go against that defensive line every day in practice, because that might be the best defensive line that they play all year long. So iron sharpens iron. One of the other guys who has garnered a lot of attention and headlines going back to Big Ten Media Day, because that coach called him out, is Evan Stewart. And here is Dante Moore on potentially his number one wide receiver this year.
Evan, love him to death. He's somebody that probably had the greatest offseason I've ever seen, the way he just came in every day, early in the mornings, late nights, just pushing himself, pushing the team. Of course, this past year wasn't the year he wanted. And it's just that with that incident, I mean, it just made him love the team even more, because at the end of the day, we all appreciated him for the
once
the
you
important
hear you
things
hear
he did. But yeah, he's a really good bowler. I just found that out. We went bowling in L.A. He beat me twice. I didn't have my balls, though. They're already Eugene, so that doesn't matter. But yeah, he's we're going to go tonight, actually, and hope I get him this time. But overall, he's a great dude, great energy, loves dancing. Everybody sees his TikTok, so he's a great dude.
Let me just say this. As somebody who has a cousin that has a bowling ball.
Yeah, you got to have your balls. That's Swigard. You got to have your balls. You got two of them? Wow, good for you.
We went over this.
Yeah, we did the ball thing.
It's
an open. I beat my cousin who has a ball.
That feels good.
You know what I beat him with? The standard 14 at the alley
house
that's
ball.
Been used 80,000 times.
House ball.
That to me is the house ball. It's the equivalent of playing somebody like you're on vacation and you play golf against and you beat somebody with
rental
like
clubs.
Rental clubs. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
I don't even have my own sticks.
And there was money on the line in that game,
I shot
too.
An 82.
He was like, I averaged a 2-something. I'm like, let's play then.
Bring it on, B.
So we put our money down on the table. We played and he was the gutter boy.
To the victor go the spoils.
Yeah, I was the one beating him.
Talk about the man of the hour, Evan Stewart. Everybody keeps raving about him. His quarterback talked about him. His head coach mentioned him at Big Ten Media Day. He said he's been the biggest standout. Landing never answers that question, and he did. So a lot of eyeballs on Evan Stewart. Here is his smiling answer on where he's at going into his last year in Eugene.
I definitely feel more explosive. And the thing was, I was always a top end burner. So it was surprising for me, like catching myself getting real explosive in acceleration, just because I always wanted to have that, because I felt if I had both and then make it better. But now I feel like I got both.
So he's saying he feels the best he's ever felt. It's hitting some of the numbers on their speed training that he's never hit before. And he was already a guy to watch, because you kind of forgot about him last year being out for the entire season. And now you add on top of the fact that everybody's raving about how good of an offseason he's had. Like, this will easily be one of, outside of like, all right, how do the play calls look? Is there anything I yell at my TV about? who are the starting five on your offensive line, then what does Evan Stewart look like and what kind of impact does he have? Those are probably the big three of things to keep an eye on for Boise State, which is about 1 month away from right now.
College, obviously, so much different than the NFL. Do you think he's going to be the number one target? Because I'm not convinced of that.
I don't think they're going to have a number one target.
You don't think DeCorian?
I just think there's going to be a, depending on the matchup and the game and the week, and the I think they have three guys, to be honest with you, that they feel like can be a number one target.
Oh, I agree with that. So I for just think he's had the most catches. Because I would bet DeCorian.
I think I would bet Evan Stewart.
Okay.
I think I would.
All right.
Now, both of them have injury concerns, right? DeCorian got banged up last year. Stewart missed the entire season last year. McClellan is kind of the forgotten about guy. And it might even end up being Iverson Hooks, who everybody keeps saying is your new Tez Johnson this year, is your slot guy, who came out of nowhere from Troy a couple of years ago. Now you've done the same thing with a UAB transfer. So a lot of hype, a lot of optimism around Oregon's wide receiver room. And that, my friends, we'll put a bow on our Oregon conversation for today. I was not able to jam everything into the last segment.
What's my beaver note?
Don't worry. I got it. We'll get to it in the final hour.
Epa!
Epa!
You guys didn't do a media day.
No.
As a conference.
No.
You're not going to do one that appears as a team.
No, we're doing a golf tournament, though.
Why showcase your players and get their names and faces out there and get some answers from them? Why do that?
Yeah.
I do have something that happens at media days that has now happened in the Pac-12, and I will explain in the final hour.
Good tease. I have no idea what you're talking about.
So we'll get to that. We will have Brooke Olsendam on because she went to see The Odyssey yesterday and seemingly did not like it and tweeted her way through the movie. So Brooke Olsendam, the queen of Rip City, is going to join us for the mail sack. We'll also get a review from Sakanik's wedding. She was there. Brooke Olsendam was in attendance. So we need a review. How was the food? How was the music? How was the booze? What were the vibes like? Let's get a review of Sook's wedding. We'll do that with Brooke Olsendam and the Sparta TRT mail sack. Kicks out the final hour next on The Fan.